chapter 11, verse 35. Although that's the shortest verse in the Bible, this will not be the shortest sermon you've ever heard. Listen to that crowd. John chapter 11, verse 35. Let's stand as we read a verse. Thank you for the songs this morning, choir. Ave, appreciate that. I didn't know we'd have a snowstorm that you could sing about in the middle of our storm, right? But we'll just have to smile. And I tell you, whatever comes our way, with Jesus in it, it's able to be sweet and be successful. And no matter how much we plan and prepare without Jesus, it just stinks. It just stinks. And we're going to look at that in the Bible today. One of my favorite words to say out of disgust and out of sarcasm is stink, stank. If you've ever been around me, you hear me say that. And I use that. It's a biblical word, amen. You're going to find it in the Bible today. John chapter 11, verse number 35. The Bible simply says, Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. Some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Let's be seated together. We'll battle pray. Father, I surely thank you for hearing. I thank you for drawing near to us. As the Bible says, if we'll draw near to you, you will draw near to us and draw nigh to the Father. Thank you for that promise. Thank you for the blessing of folks that are able to come this morning. Lord, we'll thank you for the dusting and the snow and the weather. I'm sure going to appreciate that warm weather coming. And so I pray that you'd meet with us today. Lord, meet the needs of those that are here. And I know that every time the Word of God's open, there's opportunity for things to be accomplished in spiritual realms. So God, I pray that your Word would not return void. Even if I don't understand or see the result, Lord, I pray that it would come as time goes on. Thank you for the great name of Jesus that we are so privileged to use. And I thank you so much for allowing me to have that personal contact and fellowship with Jesus and now with the Father. I praise you, and I give this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. In John chapter 11, we find here a wonderful memory verse. If you ever want to memorize a verse, Jesus wept, right? And I remember as a younger person hearing messages about temptation and quoting the Bible when there is temptation. And I thought, I'm just going to quote Jesus wept. That's a Bible verse. I'm going to nail it every time I get in temptation. I would say there's probably appropriate verses for different types of temptation. But quote the Bible. The devil does not like the Word of God. He despises it. He tries to minimize it and get us away from it at all cost. And so as you and I have that sort of the spirit, I pray that you will find yourself using it more and more. Well, this verse, as I mentioned, a short verse, Jesus wept. But you see here that there's a wrong conclusion. I won't just preach the message about why Jesus was weeping. That's another sermon for another time. But when he was crying there, then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? There's a wrong conclusion about what's going on in the world with Jesus there. I would say that probably is still happening and true in today's life, that folks get wrong conclusions of what God is doing or allowing to happen in the world around us. I'm sure that the Lord has the ability, if he can split the Red Sea, if he can dry up the ground where the water was, he can raise the dead. He obviously walked on the water. He's going to ride on a cloud. He can speak to your name and speak to your need whenever you have it. There could be the temptation to say, well, why isn't he doing it this time? Where is he at right here in this situation? And I think that's an honest human assumption. I know that there are a lot of theological truths in play. I pray for people to get saved, be saved every day. And I think to myself, I know God would like them to get saved more than I would. I'm sure he's willing. I know he's willing that none should perish. So why won't these people get saved? Lord, why won't you just save them all? And obviously there's some theological free will in those things involved. The same situation with folks with health concerns. And those of we pray for healing, and then sometimes it's there, and it's wonderful. And we'll praise God when somebody has good health reports after we pray. Amen? I remember my mom said, it just seems like every health report gets worse and worse. Every time I go, there's another worse diagnosis years ago when she was going through a bout of cancer. And I didn't have an answer. And no one else would have either. And I'm sure the question could come into anyone's mind. Couldn't this man that opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Why is he weeping when he could have done something about it? Well, I think he was weeping for a different reason. But as I mentioned, that's another message another time. When we come to the wrong conclusion about God working around us, we have the question, couldn't God or could God? Then why wouldn't God, or why did God? And then what for God? What's the reason for this? And many of those answers are so much more wise and mysteriously will be figured out as time goes on, rather than at the point at which we're looking at it. This Mexico mission trip that we were on, in the late service, some of the folks are going to give testimonies that went, but I want to use one that just is stuck with me throughout the week. And there was a dentist that seemed to kind of be probably the leader of the group of dentists that was in his area. And I found out that he paid personally to bring a vehicle, a 20-passenger vehicle, to bring dentists and people that like to help on the medical mission. He paid to bring them on his own account, not asking for any help. And he brought all of his utensils and things for the workers to use. And it just seemed like that when there was a tough situation, he would jump in and help to deal with it. And there was a young man that had a tooth, I guess, was impacted up by his nose, and he had braces on. And he said, we're going to do surgery. And he was showing this young man pictures of what this surgery would entail, breaking the palate underneath to get the tooth. Oh, you're like, please preach, that's enough testimony right there. I know. But I mean, I was looking at the pictures and I thought, you're going to do that here? And I said, does he really? And the dentist said, it doesn't hurt him now, but it will if we don't help him do this. And so I walked out. I was not going to watch that one up front and personal, but as he got going, he didn't have to go as hard of surgery as it was through the bottom, but he was able to go through the top. And the young man was awake while he was taking his tooth out, replacing, and after he sewed him up, he walked out. You couldn't even tell he had surgery. I'm like, that guy's good right there. That guy's good. But while he was sitting there, the young man said, why have I had to suffer so much in my life? While he's in surgery, on his mouth and awake, alert, you know, numbed and local anesthesia. And I told and the dentist asked me, he said he's asking about heaven and about eternity, and why is he suffering? And I said, Dennis, tell him your story. Because the dentist had just told me a few hours before, I said, how did you get here? And his story goes that he was in Chicago driving a truck, owned a business, he speaks English and Spanish, and his crew was working inside on a job, and he said, our construction crew, it's always ceilings, walls, floors. Just that order, get the ceiling, wall, and then do the floor last. He said, I walked in the job, and they were doing the floor, and the ceiling hadn't been touched, and he said, I got so mad that my workers were, in his words, being lazy and not doing it the way they should. He said, I told him to get out, and I just jumped in and started pulling the ceiling out and working on it, not knowing that he unleashed without a mask a bunch of asbestos or like material, fiberglass. He breathed it in over the weekend. He couldn't breathe, went to the hospital. It cut up his lungs. He spent 6 weeks in the hospital, and the doctor said, your lungs are not going to heal. You need to move to a dry location where you might be able to live longer. He's a young man. He said, I didn't know what to do. And out of the blue, my grandpa had a business in Mexico City and said, I need some help running this. And by the way, I've got a rental house that the renters have not taken care of. Could you just move in and just take care of it, and I'll let you live there and you can learn the business? He moves to Mexico City, starts doing the business, then becomes a lawyer, works in law for a few years, and somebody invited him to go on a medical mission just to help out. And all he did was hand the dentist the utensils while they were working on the patients. He's a lawyer this time. And he noticed that he really liked what was going on. He said, I think I'm going to learn how to be a dentist. So he went to dental school, becomes a dentist, and now he's been doing this for the last however many years, taking people on his own to come to these campaigns and being a part of people getting saved. And all of it goes back to breathing in as a fiberglass and being given almost a death sentence. And I said, how'd you get there? He said, God got me here. Isn't it amazing? The journey and the twists and the turns. Can you imagine someone telling him, hey, you're going to have to move and leave your life, but it's really God's will that you do this. Yeah. Well, couldn't I just done it without the lung damage? Couldn't I just done it without the heartache and the trouble and sorrow? No, you probably wouldn't have done it that way. Amazing that we ask the wrong questions. Instead of looking at what Jesus did not do, why wouldn't we trust what Jesus is doing in our life? Oh, they had the wrong conclusion. Well, couldn't God? Why wouldn't God? What for, God? And if we asked for a raise of hands, couldn't everyone in the room surely say that we have done that in our past, in the last month, in the last week, in all different situations? I'll say amen to that. They had the wrong conclusion. You know why? Look at verse 39. They were using worldly wisdom. Jesus, therefore, verse 38, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he what? Yeah, that would be a worldly wisdom assumption. Jesus, I hate to inform you this, but it's been 4 days. He gonna stink. Now, some of you after one day stink a little bit. Can somebody say amen? I was in Mexico without a shower for 4 days. Hallelujah. I felt bad for everybody who was around me when I was in that van on the way home. And there was some funny stories. We won't go into all that just right here. But the enjoyable and great, gracious, and what just continues to resound in my mind is everyone that was working there was just excited and happy to be serving Jesus. Stinks. Worldly wisdom says he stinks. He's dead. This is not just a naysayer or an unbeliever. Look at verse number 24. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the what? She's got saving faith. She believes in a resurrection. She's not a Sadducee. She's not someone who's doubting the power of God. But in the moment, she's found doubting the power of God. Have you ever been there with your own worldly wisdom thinking, this is going to stink. This is not good. This is horrible. This is just ridiculous. I can't see anything good happening from what's going on in my life. I'll say amen to that. Brother Will will tell you about a night in Canner's Cave, Jackson, Ohio, where it was 90-some degrees, and the first day we got to church camp, he was a counselor for junior high from Wilmington, and the first day they got to church camp, the air conditioning went out in the auditorium for the church to have, the kids to have camp services. What a blessing that was going to be. 90-some degrees, no air conditioning, and all of us that were planning it, Brother Carter said, it was the official worst day of camp counseling directing that's ever been in the history of church camp. had to call the police because of some kids that went up in the woods away from everyone. Oh, it was just a melee the first day. Anything that could have happened, happened. I believe we had lice that day. It was just a wonderful, all the things that could go wrong in church camp went wrong that day. And that was the day Will Doomy was called to preach, that night, when the power went out in Jackson, Ohio. Now, I'm not saying that we should try to do things foolishly so God can use us and make something happen, although I'm foolish enough the way it is. But I will tell you that worldly wisdom looks at things and does not see a way that God could accomplish anything. And then we're tempted to leave the old past. Thank you for preaching that, Brother Will. Because we can't see how it's going to work, so we're gonna fix it. We're going to be dishonest. We're going to be deceiving. We're going to be manipulating because we know how to make things work right instead of trusting God and allowing Him to do something with our obedience, which would always give Him more glory, which would always let Him take us to where the end of the story should be. But no, we know so much better. Martha says, Jesus, He stinks. And he's dead. And He's been there 4 days. Worldly wisdom would vanquish and would quench the power and the might of God in almost every situation if we allowed it to. It's worldly wisdom. We look at it from our point of view and do not see the higher, wiser, holier, more loving and compassionate. Can someone say amen? Amen. God Almighty that has things in store and we can't see it. The wrong conclusion, worldly wisdom, and it withheld glory. Look at verse number 40. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the what? Glory. The glory of God. Oh, so many little things of life, and we limit seeing the glory of God, and it withholds it. Why? Because we just won't believe in that moment. Martha's not an unbeliever. We wouldn't characterize her as a lost person who's not saved. She believes in the resurrection. She was calling on Jesus to come help. She was looking for Him to do something miraculous, but it didn't happen the way she thought, so now she's disappointed. I get it. In fact, I'm not trying to preach against Martha. I'm just trying to preach about Martha, because probably all of us could identify and it could speak to us in the moment. Oh, her unbelief could have and would have and should have withheld glory. Jesus could have stopped and said, you don't believe. I'm going to leave. What a blessing that God knows our frailty and He knows our flesh and He's died to save us from it. Can somebody say amen? He's coming back to receive us from it. Amen. And He does not leave her, but He does something that changes everything. You see, a lot of things stink unless Jesus does something in the midst of it. About, I don't know, maybe a month ago, my wife called me and said, oh, something's wrong with the dishwasher. And I'm like, well, tell those kids to get back in the kitchen. That was a bad joke, but I use kids instead of wife. Amen. You know how the joke goes. Brother Scott's laughing already. He knows the punchline. And she said, something's wrong, and it's clogged in something. So I am the man of the house who absolutely knows nothing about plumbing. Can somebody follow me? I say, hey, I'll get in there. I'll fix that. And I go get my little wire snake, and I'm trying to plug. I'm trying to unplug, and I'm going through, and I realize it's not plugged. That's not the problem. It's the dishwasher pump. It's not pumping. Well, dishwashers, probably at one time you would just replace the pump and it'd be an easy fix. Now, just get rid of the thing, go get another one. just the way our putting things together are. So I thought about it, and I thought, I can sell this piece on eBay, that piece on eBay. Maybe I can go buy us a half-price one, and we'll be covered. That's the way my mind thinks. I'll part it out instead of try to fix it myself. And so I said, honey, I'll get to it. Well, that was 4 weeks ago, and it was busy that week. It was busy the next week. And finally, I said, okay, I'm going to try to look in there. And I think I waited 4 or 5 days to look at it even the first time. You know what I'm saying? And when I finally opened up, you know what? That stainless steel, wonderful invention that's supposed to keep things from stinking, supposed to clean things when you turn it on. You know what happened when I opened that door? My wife said, open the other doors, get the air out. What's going on? And I'm like, what? I didn't do that. And the whole house stunk because the water that's supposed to go through that machine and clean other things, it's designed not to stink. But when it didn't get rid of the refuse and the gray, trashy water, you know what it did? It stank. Can I tell you, there's a lot of things in life that are designed not to stink, but if we don't get rid of the recycled stuff and the used things, it just stinks. There's a lot of marriages that just stink. They do. They stink. God made it. You realize God looked at day six and proclaimed everything to be what? Good. And then, after Adam starts naming the animals, no sin yet, no problem yet, God said, it's not good for man to be... Wait a second. I just noticed this. Before sin, God said, it is not good. Huh. Wow. And so then from that assessment, he makes a woman, unites them together in marriage, and I would say that marriage was supposed to be, what's the word? Good. But you know what happens? In marriages, when things aren't taken care of, and when the water's not pumped out, you know what happens? It stinks. It stank. It can get so bad that people wonder why God would even do that and use that. Earth was good. Earth was created and then formed, and God proclaimed everything to be good. Is earth good today? No, it's declining, it's decaying. And in fact, if you have a dishwasher and you don't let the water out, your dishwasher will stink too. Why? What God made to be good, if not taken care of, because of sin, weeds grow up in the earth. Man has to address it. By the sweat of his brow, works to make things bring forth. I think of the church. Isn't the church a great invention of Almighty God? Wouldn't you say amen? I think about this, and the church is amazing because... I was gone, and yet folks got saved at roller skating. Folks got saved at junior church. Folks got saved at West Central Ministry. I am not the producer of fruit for the church at Bible Baptist of Marysville. Now, I want to be a part of everything good. It's usually the problem. I am part of things, and they don't become good because I get a part of it. But I love to be part of it, and the church is amazing. I heard just recently a fellow just crying out, thanking God. And his grandkids come home talking about the lessons that they learned from their teachers, talking about the things of God. How thankful that man was. And I think, God, your church, you're amazing to devise and to design and to implore and employ the church of the living God. Amen. But you know what happens when things don't get taken care of in church? You know what happens when sin doesn't get out of church? You know what happens when selfishness creeps into church? You know what happens when just human beings who have sinful fleshes don't deal and repent with their sins? You know what happens? Church begins to
stink.
It stinks. Oh, how can that stink so bad? Oh, there's nothing good. Oh, yes, there is. It just stinks. I raised pigs as a kid. You know what pigs do? They but the bacon tastes really, really, really good. Inside of all that stink, there is something blessed and wonderful and full of sodium and grease and We used to call our church the Bible Baptist Bacon Church. Amen. It was part of our DNA that we would have bacon at every meeting. I'm teasing a little bit, but can you see that just because something stinks doesn't mean that God can't fix it? Just because something has been allowed to decay and allowed to break down or whatever without maintenance, it doesn't mean that Jesus can't fix it. Well, I don't know how he can. You're probably in a good position to say that. That's worldly wisdom, and I understand. How could he? Because he says, call unto me, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. All in Scripture, there's some things that stink, and I don't know how much time I have to preach this, but let me just give you a couple without even turning. You know, the frogs were in the days of Moses in Egypt, and they stank. The Bible says in Exodus 8:14, they stank, and Pharaoh wanted another night with them just to make sure he knew just how bad they did stink. In Genesis 34:30, there was foolish revenge, and it made Jacob stink in the nostrils of the inhabitants. His sons took out revenge over what happened to their sister. And Jacob said, what have you done? When they murdered a whole city of men because of one man's sin in that city. And Jacob said, when everyone hears about this, you have made me to stink. And they said, you want us just to let our sister get abused and do nothing about it? I'm paraphrasing, but they had every worldly justification for their wicked revenge. And Jacob said, you don't know what you've done. You've just made me to stink. All people get their feelings hurt, and we're going to revenge. We're going to get even. We're going to take care of it. When the Lord says, bless your enemies. Do good to them which despitefully use you and curse you. I mean, that's what God says. But no, we know better. We're going to pound them. We're going to say hurtful and harmful things. We're going to give them a bad Google review. Can somebody say amen? We're going to take care of this. Don't happen to anyone else because they did bad to us. We're going to make sure we get them back. Foolish revenge, and it stinks. It stinks. In Psalms 38, verse 5, would you look at this one? Because this one is probably, hold your place in John, but look at Psalms 38, 5. This one I can identify with. Psalm 38, verse 5. Although there are times that others may have done something to me that just stinks. It just stinks. And I'm like, oh man, I don't like this. And here's what Psalm 38, 5 says. My wounds, what's the word? And are corrupt because of why? My foolishness. Whew. My foolishness. You ever have self-inflicted wounds, things that you've done to yourself? Every once in a while, Elliot will come by crying. I'll say, what happened? Oh, I hurt my finger, my toe. Were you running? Maybe. Were you trying to get down the steps too quick? Well, I was holding on to the... As you flipped and turned and tried... I said, yeah, you hurt yourself. Happens, doesn't it? Physically, we can do things to hurt ourselves, all spiritually. Most of my wounds, I would estimate they stink, and it's because of my foolishness. I did that. You've seen those little stickers with our president on gas stations? No, I did that. I'm the one who did that. I made the mess. I caused the issue. By the way, we do know how to define what a woman is. Can you all say amen? The Bible tells us that. That's another story, another time. It just stinks. My foolishness causes wounds. It stank. Ecclesiastes 10 tells us that a little folly with one of reputation or with wisdom, it stinks. It stinks. How do you fix something that stinks? Go back to John 11. Go back to John 11. If I had time to develop all those points, we would probably be preaching for hours, and we don't have that time. But this morning, can I just give you this in John 11? After he said, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Look at verse 41. And then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Amen. Now, Jesus was weeping. He was groaning. He was being disbelieved and disputed and directed to do different things than what he had planned. And he said, Father, I thank thee. And I tell you, the very first ingredient for any recipe of making something not stink is to just say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you. I don't understand. I don't like this. But I'm just going to say, thank you. So yesterday, my wife found a replacement dishwasher, and I was brave enough to try to install it myself, and noticed things weren't just exactly the way it's right, and it had a cord already attached to it. I'm like, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I don't have to wire this thing. It's got a cord. This is awesome. And I made sure it would fit, and I said, look, if it runs through this channel, she said, what's a channel? I said, I don't know, but that's what it looks like underneath this dishwasher machine. It's a channel. And she was like, did you just name that? I'm like, just do what I say. It's going to be fine. And we got it. We almost got in there, and it wouldn't fit. And then I found there was a little leveling device that I could unlevel, and it fit. And I'm like, it's fit. It's plugged in. This is awesome. Things are amazing. I didn't have to call Will to help me. And I went to turn it on, and nothing turned on. And I thought, oh, that. Thanks. Thank you, Christy. Thank you. So you're paying attention. Everyone else, we got to start all over from the beginning of the message, okay? I said, oh, this stinks. Oh. And my wife looked at me, and I could tell her eyes were like, I knew this was going to happen. I knew all your attempts were going to fail. I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to throw something, and we're going to go on with the rest of the evening. And I said, can you message those people and tell them that it doesn't work? And so then I made a phone call to an electrician, Brian Hall. And Brian said, did you plug it in the switch where your garbage disposal is? I said, yeah. He's like, that outlet's on a switch. I'm like, yeah. Turn the switch on, and then it works. I'm like, it doesn't stink. It doesn't stink. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It doesn't stink. Now watch. Does everything have an immediate conclusion where it works out? Would you all say amen? It doesn't. But I'll tell you this. When you get Jesus in whatever situation that you think stinks, it doesn't stink. It doesn't stink. Jesus can make any situation not stink. And oh, there's great illustration that we need to pump the water out. What things are made to keep clean or stay clean, we have to follow the instruction. It has to work right. But I'm just going to tell you, friend, in life, things don't always work right. In Christianity, in church life, things just don't always work the way we think they ought to. Well, you got to fix a situation. I wish I could. Well, you need to better do. I wish I would. But you know what? I've just found that on my best plans and the best strategies, and nothing wrong with them, we ought to have better plans, we ought to have better strategies, we ought to do church better than we've ever did before. But can I tell you, sometimes things are just going to. And you know what you do? You thank Jesus. And you repent if it's self-inflicted. And you get humble and say, I don't know how I was ever going to make it without Jesus. Amen. And the word from the master was thanks. There's a testimony that's involved with this. And there's a triumph for others through this. That was Jesus' strategy for what stunk in front of him. And I love this. The Bible says in verse 42, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. There's that testimony. There's that triumph for others. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Was there any doubt Lazarus was going to come forth? Amen. I'm so glad he just used that name, or every dead person would have come forth right then. The Bible says that after that, and this is amazing. And look at verse 44. Catch this, and I'm done. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and what? Can I tell you that there's work to be done even after the miracle? There's still work to be done even after the miracle. Well, preacher said God's going to make everything better. It's not all going to stink. Let's just set back. Let's do nothing because Jesus is going to make everything wonderful. And we are Christians and that's the way life is. And we're just going to wait. Lord, when are you going to make it not stink? I'm just going to sit back and I'm going to wait for that broken dishwasher not to stink. I know you. In fact, I put salt in it. I thought, I'm going to fix this stink. I'm going to go get some salt. And I poured a bunch of salt in there waiting for me the right time to clean it out. And I thought, salt purifies. We're the salt of the earth. It's going to be a great preaching illustration. I'm going to put salt in that stinking thing, and it's going to not stink. I opened up last night. Guess what? It still stank. After the miracle is over, there's still work to be done. Jesus told those that stood by, loose him. He was bound with his hands. He was bound around his eyes. He was still underneath the grave clothes influence, the death that was around him. Even though he walked out of the grave, get this picture. He walks out of the grave and needs help getting the grave clothes off. Couldn't the Lord just have like cut them off and just, you know. I think God could save everybody with just a snap of his finger. But he has employed us to be his hands and feet and to be his body. And so we're supposed to do the work of the ministry. We're supposed to help people after they get saved. We're supposed to keep on with people that can need help seeing, need help doing, need help getting unbound from things. Loose him, and then look what it says, let him go. I am not the continual discipler of everyone's lives. I am not the policeman for everyone's spiritual well-being for the rest of your existence as a church member. I will do my best to preach the Word of God. I'll try to confront if I know and have some ability. But many times I've got a beam in my eye and I'm trying to get a mote out of someone else's eye. But the Bible says, loose him and let him go. Oh, Lazarus just probably used his salvation to just be carnal and wicked the rest of his life. No, I don't think he did that. He could have. Oh, we better help Lazarus. We better watch over. We better give him some strict details and things to obey and conform to. No, get the grave clothes off and let him go. He's came from death to life. And Lazarus can probably stand on his own two feet. I know I'm preaching with a little bit of generalities, but can I tell you, I believe the Holy Spirit is the greatest teacher of all Christianity. I'm thankful that he has gifted some folks to help us, and I'm not saying that you don't need anyone else in your life. We are Christians. We need other people in our lives. But we need Jesus first. And we need to help others get Jesus first. And then I just need to let them go. Try to be an example. For footprints to follow. Try to be an example for knee prints to follow. But also try to be an example that things are going to stink from time to time. And I'm going to thank God. And I'm going to look for God to do something amazing. And I'm going to work for God along with his instruction. Amen. With those things. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, thank you for the word. John chapter 11, verse 35 is where we'll begin. And go to verse 44, if you're able to follow along. The Bible simply says, Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. Some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and the stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. When he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot, with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Let's be seated. We'll bow to pray. Brother Will, would you pray for us as we begin to preach? Amen. Amen. Thank you. Mentioned the shortest verse in the Bible, John 11:35. Jesus wept. I used to love to get credit for that one on memory verse time, right? I could always get that one memorized and quote. But the verse there has a deep meaning, and we're not going to get into that completely today. But the passage at hand leads us to a word that I use all the time. In my sarcasm or in my phraseology, if you're around me for very long, you'll hear me say, man, that stinks. That's stank. I say stink, stunk, stank. All vowels you can put in the middle of that word. And I've used it before in my verbiage, in my description of something that's happened around my life or things are going on. But in this passage, we see that something rightfully would have stunk. And this passage, we'll work through it and get to this thought along with it. First of all, I want you to see in John 11 that the people came to a wrong conclusion of what Jesus was doing. When Jesus wept, and then the answer or the response given from the Jews, they said, oh, how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? The wrong conclusion of what's going on. And I would say that at different times in our life, we probably have asked God, well, couldn't you have done this? Or why wouldn't you do that? Or what was that for, God? And knowing that God parted the Red Sea and dry land where they walked across, knowing that he raised people from the dead, he made the deaf to see and the dumb to preach, I mean to speak, and a little slippage there, but he's caused all things to happen miraculously. He rose from the dead. He's going to ride on a cloud. God can do anything. Can you all say amen to that? Amen. And so with that faith and with that understanding, sometimes comes the question, why didn't he do this? Or why didn't he do that in that situation? And I know there's theological answers for many of those questions. I pray for people all the time to be saved. And by name sometimes, if I know of someone or have talked with someone that I don't know has not accepted Christ or made that decision, I pray for them. And I think I prayed for my uncle since I was 5 years old. I prayed for Uncle Sid, and his name's Ray. I don't know why I call him Sid, but anyway, that's what Uncle Sid. And I remember when I was a kid in junior church, I'd pray for Uncle Sid, and my friend would say, what'd he say? I'm like, that's his name. No, what'd he say? Uncle said, no, I mean, we were just a little kid joke, but and I don't know that he's ever been saved yet. And I think, Lord, why? And then and theologically, I know that free will is involved, and obviously God wants my uncle to be saved way more than I ever could. And God wants people to come to know the Lord. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so when we come to a conclusion, well, couldn't you do this, God? Or why wouldn't you do that, God? Or what was this for? We come to some wrong conclusions. And in this story, Lazarus was sick, and according to the passage, Jesus didn't get there on time. I've been late for a few things in my life before, amen. Jesus was not late. He was right on time, by the way. But and Lazarus had already died, and 4 days had gone by, if you know the story. And so I'm sure that if they would have opened that tomb without God intervening with something, it would have stunk. It would have stank. It would stink. And I used to tease when we had a skunk at the other building. How many remember that day? And I remember getting up as the smell was, aroma was going through the church building, that your church really did stink, right? And but just teasing aside, this word that describes what they were looking at, it was a reality. And the conclusion that the people around had come to, that why didn't you do this? You can open the eyes of the blind. Why couldn't you have saved this man that you're weeping over? It's with that thought that I want to just make sure and get this point across, that in our own life, many times what God is doing takes so much longer to season or to come through that we're short-sighted and we're wanting to see the answer in a matter of days or weeks, and God is working something way more miraculous and momentous that it takes longer to accomplish than what we can be patient with. The dentist that Abe was a helper with, and his name was John Luis, I believe. And I didn't know his story, and he was talking with Aaron and shared some of his testimony. But the last surgery that he was working on, a young man had a tooth impacted up around his nose, and he was showing that the mother brought this young fella, probably late teen, maybe 18 or 19, I can't remember exactly. He had braces on, but they were showing him that this tooth needed to come out or he was going to end up causing a lot of problem. And they were going to break his palate and go from underneath, not to be graphic, but just get this picture here, and get that tooth and then reconstruct everything after they got that tooth out. And he had a replacement tooth on his braces in that area, the front tooth. And so they're describing this, and the doctor, the dentist, was saying it's going to be an extensive surgery, but if you don't do this, whenever it starts to cause problems, it's going to be big problems. And so they started to do this, and Aaron was taking pictures of it. I got a text from Aaron this week and said, here, take these pictures. I'm deleting them from my phone. I never want to see them again. Brother Aaron's a farmer, but some of those experiences were a little out of our realm. And he is working on this young man while he's awake, local anesthetic, and the young man in Spanish was asking the dentist, why have I had to suffer so much in my life? And I'm standing there, so he asked me, hey, he wants to know, why is he suffering so much in his life? I'm like, thank you, doc, thank you. Put this guy out, please, so I don't have to answer this question. And was standing there, and you know, we were talking about eternity and heaven, and the young man knew Christ, but he was just asking a lot of suffering. And I told the dentist, I said, tell your story, because I had just heard the dentist's story an hour or two before, and the dentist's story goes something like this. He was living in Chicago, had a trucking job, and then started his own business with construction, rehabbing buildings. Had 7 men working for him, and he said that our strategy always was ceilings, walls, floors. Do the ceiling first, walls, floors, and that's just the way that the rehab would work. And he walked in to check on his crew, and they had done the floor, and the ceiling hadn't been touched. And he said, I was so mad at my crew. I thought they are being so lazy that I told him just to leave. And he said, I tore into that ceiling and was just going to do it myself. Took all the ceiling out, began to do his construction, and didn't wear any protective gear, and then breathed in all kinds of small fiberglass and cut up his lungs. He was in the emergency room later the next day. spent 6 weeks in the hospital. The doctor said your lungs will not recover. You need to move to somewhere dry or you're probably going to die. And he said, I walked out of there thinking, what am I going to do? And the original question I said, how'd you get here, doc? How'd you get here in this place? And he said, it was God. That's what his answer was. And he began to tell me the story. So his grandfather just happened to call him at that same time. And when his grandfather called him, he said, I've got a business that I need to hand off, and I can't run it anymore. And I've got a rental house that's been abused and abandoned. I need you to come live in it and take care of it. And he said, dry area, job, house for nothing. He moved to Mexico City. He was going through a divorce in his life at that time. Moved to Mexico City, did that for a while, then became a lawyer. Worked as a lawyer with Mexico City with traffic claims and things. And just happened to go on a medical mission with a group of dentists and doctors. And he went just as a helper. And he was given the job to hand the dentist their tools as a lawyer doing this menial task. And he thought, that's kind of interesting. I think I'm going to be a dentist. So he went to dental school, became a dentist, now has a practice and married to another dentist, and paid for his own 20-seat vehicle to bring other dentists to the medical mission and run it each time they have the trip. I'm like, how many lives have you lived? I mean, he's just lawyer, trucking, construction, dental. He just done it all. And humblest guy, gave his blanket away to some of the folks when he left. He said, I pay for the vehicle. He said, I want to make sure that people can have this experience. And he's telling this guy who's laying on his back, wondering why he would suffer in his life. And I'm sure that at any moment during that story, from Chicago to the mountains of Guerrero in Mexico, that doctor, that dentist could have said, why, God? Why didn't you, God? What for, God? You follow me? Because that would have been the explanation any of us could have if we did not trust God through those things. They came to the wrong conclusion. And then there was worldly wisdom involved. Look at John 11. The wrong conclusion, why didn't God do something? And look at the worldly wisdom. Verse 39, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he... Could you say that word with me? You knew which word I was talking about, didn't you? Yeah. He stinketh. You got to put a little emotion in it. Stank, right? You guys got to get in there. He stinketh. And worldly wisdom would surely agree, no doubt, a human body that had been evacuated from this, the spirit had evacuated and left for corruption and left for a decomposition, he would have stunk after 4 days. And the Bible even says in verse 39, why would he stink? For he hath been dead 4 days. Worldly wisdom will always get in the way of God's working in our lives. Worldly wisdom tells us, hey, I know that God's done this for others, but he won't do it for me in this situation. Worldly wisdom says, no, it can't be that easy just to follow Jesus to fix my life. Worldly wisdom says, you don't understand how bad my life is. You don't understand what I've done or what I'm doing. It stinks. You don't understand what I'm going through or what mountain or what situation I'm facing. It stinks and no one can fix it. That's what worldly wisdom would tell us when it comes to our life with and without Christ. So many times I've told people, hey, you just need to follow Jesus. And they're like, how's that going to fix it? How's that going to change it? How's that going to solve it? Knowing what is in their life at the moment stinks, but my friend, let me tell you, Jesus is the one that can change what stinks into what's amazingly good. About 6 weeks ago, I can't remember, it was a Sunday night, my wife said, the dishwasher is not working. And my first reply was, tell the kids to get back in the kitchen. I'm just teasing, just teasing. That's a bad joke. But usually, never mind, I won't go there. And I said, what's wrong with it? And she said, I don't know, but it's not emptying out. And I thought, oh, well, I'll go fix that. I can put on my wheel jacket and go fix a plumbing issue. And I went there and had my little wire snake, and I tried to get down in there and dig out what was clogging this dishwasher because we just replaced it a few years ago. And my mom said, didn't you just replace it? I'm like, yeah, but when you wash as much dishes as we go through, that thing's getting its work out. And so found out it wasn't a clog, it was the pump. And I don't know about you, but I'm not going to replace a pump on a dishwashing machine. I'm not even going to ask one of my best friends to replace a pump on a dishwashing machine. I'm just going to go get another dishwasher. But it was busy, and we didn't have time, and I said, hey, I'll get to that. And in fact, I probably waited 4 or 5 days before I looked at it anyway. And when I opened the door to look at that dishwasher after it had set for a few days, you know what happened when I opened the door of that dishwasher? My favorite word came up. It stunk, man. It stunk. And that thing is made to clean and to get rid of stuff that would make your dishes stink. But what I found, that because it was not pumping out, it just stunk. Stunk bad. And so I thought, oh, man, I can't get to it this time. I can't get to it that time. We got this going on. We got this Mexican mission trip. I'll get to it eventually. And it'll just shut the door. And then I thought, you know what? I know salt preserves things. I went and got a salt shaker, and I poured a bunch of salt in the bottom of it, thinking I will preserve it, and it won't stink so bad in my house. I literally did it. Let me tell you, you can pour a whole salt block in that thing. It ain't going to take the stink out. I learned that lesson. But anyway, and so I noticed that something that was so beautiful on the outside, and it worked. It would spray water, and you put soap, but it would do it, but it didn't have any way of getting out what stunk inside of it. And really, the thought that hit me was, Lord, are you trying to get me to preach a message? Is that why this thing's broke down? I do that a lot of times when different things happen in my life and use illustrations, but I just knew that it stunk, and I realized that there was nothing I could do to get that stink out except get a new dishwasher. So my wife found one. Yeah. It was a deal. I love deals. Let's make a deal, right? And went and picked it up, and I installed the other one. Maybe that was the first problem that happened. But anyway, I'm going to get this out. We're going to get this in. And found out that it already had electric cord on it. I'm like, hallelujah, no wiring included. This is amazing. And I didn't have to use the adapter for the water spout. I'm like, this is going to be easy. And I'm trying to figure out how to get the lines back and go through the little kitchen cabinet wall. I really have no idea what I'm talking about here, okay? And the dishwashing has like a little channel. That's what I called it. I said, we got to get this hose in the channel. My wife says, a channel in the dishwasher? Did you just make that word up? I'm like, absolutely. Just follow me here. Got it in, got it hooked up, and then it would not turn on. And the look of disgust on my wife's face told me that not only did my dishwasher stink, but my whole life stunk right then. You know what I'm saying? I had done all this effort and plugged it in, and it should work, and it didn't work. And I'm like, let's just watch the basketball game and not talk, Abe. You know? And so we were getting through it. And listen, I called my good friend Brian Hall, who's an electrician, and he said, did you plug it in where your garbage disposal is? I'm like, well, yeah, it's the only plug I got. He's like, you have to turn your garbage disposal on with a switch, don't you? I'm like, yeah. So he's like, turn the switch on. It worked! It worked! I got to run my garbage disposal while we wash dishes, but it works! Now, my story ended up with a happy ending 5 minutes later. But some of our stories don't end 5 minutes later. And it stinks. And we can't see why it still stinks. And why God hasn't fixed this, or why he hasn't done that. And I just want to give you a couple examples in the Bible of things that were made to do good, but they end up stinking. I'm just going to be honest that the earth was made, and it was good. After day six, God had created, made everything. He said, it is very good. But you know, the earth is not good now. Sin has entered in, and it's decaying, and it will burn up forever when God judges it for the curse of sin that's upon this place. We have to work to make things grow. Thorns and thistles and the curse of weeds are now upon it. it stinks. And if you've ever worked in the garden or on the farm, it stinks. There's hard labor to make things grow and work. When will that change? Well, the Bible tells us there'll be a new heaven, new earth, where there'll be no more curse. But for almost 6,000 years of man's history, here we are. You know, there's some other things. Family is a great word. I thought about this. After God created everything, made everything, he said, it is very good. And then in Genesis 2, when Adam names the animals, God says, it is not good for man to be. There was no sin yet. There was no curse yet. God had created everything good, complete, finished, and then yet it wasn't good. And so God made a woman from man's rib and joined them. They two shall be one flesh. And you think, wow, that's awesome. What a blessing. What a hallelujah that God instituted and designed a family. That's going to be a great thing for all people to be involved with. But you know what happens in families? Some of it stinks. There are parents with kids and their relationship stinks. There are husbands and wives and their relationship, it stinks. And why? I think because the pump has quit and they're not getting out all the things that need to be recycled and be removed. I found that all of us are sinful. And even though I'm saved, my flesh is still sinful. And I need to repent and I need to confess, or my life begins to stink. And if you get close, you'll be like, whoa, his life stinks. And that's something from far away. You might not smell if the guy didn't put deodorant on today. But the closer you get to the guy who didn't put deodorant on, you'll realize he did not put deodorant on. And you'll begin to, whoa, woo, that stinks. In all of our lives, all of our families, there are things that will cause it to stink if we don't address it and get Jesus in it. Churches are made and instituted and designed by God. Can you all say amen? I was so excited. I was listening to a man talk about how blessed his family was because some of his grandchildren were being taught by the people at church, and the grandchildren were talking about the lessons and the teaching, and you could just hear the gratefulness and the tone of absolute just thankfulness for the church having influence in his grandkids' lives. And I love the church. I was gone, and Brother Will preached, and the church, the roof didn't fall in. Amen? Or is it? And people got saved, and people were at church and doing ministry. And I wasn't here. I wasn't. It's because it's a collective group of the church. But you know what happens if the church's pump doesn't work and doesn't get out some of the just natural sinful things that happen, the selfishness that comes into play? Churches begin to, you knew it. It stinks. I mean, whoa, that stinks. Well, let's just get rid of the, no, let's get rid of the stink. There's a way to get rid of it. The worldly wisdom says, don't roll away that stone. That guy stinks. He's been dead 4 days. There's nothing that can be done. Just leave it alone. And I'm sure in our experience with families, with the earth, with churches, with all kinds of things, we live in a recyclable generation. Just buy it, use it, throw it away. Let's get another. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. That's not the way it is. God's with us. He doesn't just get another. He made you in his image, and he wants to redeem you and restore you and rebuild you. Can somebody say amen? Yeah. What a blessing that what stinks can be changed. Just a little Bible study. I won't take all the time because I don't have enough time to do it justice. But there's a lot of things that stink in the Bible. Jacob's family, his daughter was raped, and the brothers were getting revenge for what happened. And they went to the city of Shechem to kill every man that lived in that city because of one man who abused their sister. And they tricked him and they killed him. And when Jacob found out, he said, "What have you done, my sons? You have made me to stink. And all the inhabitants around are going to kill us because you made us to stink." And they said, "So you want us just to let that happen to our sister and do nothing?" It was a rough situation. How did it end? They obeyed God, and God miraculously made them not to stink in all of the surrounding inhabitants of that country. Read it. Genesis 34. Not right now. Read it. This one I want to just mention. I'm almost done. Go to Psalms 38, and I want to show you what I find that applies to me. Psalm 38. And I appreciate your patience with the testimonies and singing today and preaching, but we'll quickly draw this to a point. Psalms 38. Verse number 5 is the place I want you to look at. And then we'll go back to John 11 and finish up. The Bible says in Psalm 38, "My wounds stink and are corrupt because of what? My foolishness." Some things that stink are exactly from me. I can't blame it on the dishwasher pump. I can't blame it on the guy who cut me off in traffic. I can't blame it on whoever made inflation hit. And I can't blame. You know what stinks? Things that I've done. My foolishness. That stinks in my life. Boy, I don't know if you ever realize that there's something that stinks and you just can't do anything about it. That's what we find in John 11. In John 11, Jesus told them to remove the stone, and he told them that because of their unbelief, they were going to be withheld from glory, that they wouldn't see the glory of God. And that's the same with us. When we don't believe and obey and go forth with what's right because of our own worldly wisdom, well, it won't work out if I'm honest. It won't work out if I do good. It won't work out if I obey God. It won't work out if I just do what the Bible says. And we withheld and hold back God from doing His glory because we won't get in His story. And we want to fix it and do it earthly way, and then we'll mess it up and get further away from the plan He has. John 11, they said He stinks. We can't open the tomb. Verse 41, some reason they obeyed. They took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And this is what caused Him not to stink. I just want to give you just one point here. The recipe to getting rid of stink in your life, number one, thank God. Look at verse 41. Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, "Father, I what? Thank Thee that Thou hast heard me." Instead of complaining about what stinks, why don't you just pause and thank God what He's doing without you knowing it? I'm sure that doc, that dentist, I don't know if he thanked God for his lungs being destroyed, thanked God for his crew not doing what they should do, but I guarantee at some point he thanked God because I said, "How'd you get here?" He said, "God got me here. Let me tell you what happened." Well, that stinks. No, it's wonderful because it got me to what doesn't stink. Jesus thanked the Father. And you can see that the word from the Master was this. He thanked His Father. He had a testimony for others. Verse 42 says, "I knew that Thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that Thou hast sent me." There's a testimony, and then there's a triumph for others with what Jesus was going through. They doubted Him. They disregarded Him. They cast attacks that you were late. Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? And He said, "I thank You, Father." So they can hear this, and there'll be something triumph for them. Wow, what a change of attitude that we all need when things stink in our life. Can you say amen? Instead of just thanking God when it smells good, why don't you thank God that it stinks? Thank You, Lord. I'm enjoying the smell of my dishwasher when I open the door. I don't know what You're going to do, but I'm just excited. It's going to be awesome. Reminds me of that joke about the little kid looking for a pony, you know what I'm saying? And he went to the farm and he thought his grandpa had a pony. And he was so sure that his grandpa had a pony that he was so excited to go to the farm. And when he got there, he ran right to the barn, grabbed a pitchfork and started pitching manure. And his mom and dad said, "What are you doing?" He said, "With all this manure, there's got to be a pony in here somewhere." The word from the master was enough to make Lazarus rise from the dead. He that should have been stinking didn't stink. But I will tell you this, the wrong conclusion, the worldly wisdom, the withheld glory, the word from the master, but then watch this last point. Even after the miracle, there was still work for the people to do. The Bible says, "And when he had thus spoken," verse 43, "he cried with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.' He that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes." Really? The guy that rose from the dead was still bound with grave clothes? Couldn't have God have just taken those off himself? Couldn't he have made him fall off and just walked out a totally whole? Yes, but look what he says. Jesus told them, "Loose him and what? Let him go." We still have a part to play, even after a miracle's done. Some people may be saved, but they still can be bound with their hands fast in sin. Oh, they're free. They've been made free by the blood of Christ that's been paid for, but they're still struggling with some of the grave clothes that they had on. Then it says that it was wrapped around his face. They couldn't see. "Lazarus, come forth. I don't know where I'm going. I can't see." He rose from the dead, and he can't see where he's going. Have you ever seen someone just got saved and don't know where they need to go next? They've just been spared from hell and eternity, and yet there's some grave clothes that somebody's got to help get off. Well, we better tell Lazarus everything he needs to do for the rest of his life. No. No. Just help him and let him go. You know, I found the Holy Spirit is the greatest teacher, the greatest convictor, the greatest asset that I have ever had in my life. I appreciate preachers, teachers, all kinds of help, and I need people in my life. I'm not a solo Christian, but I'll tell you this, I'm so grateful the Holy Spirit sends people and uses people. And just take off the grave clothes and let him go. Well, aren't you afraid what will happen? I'm afraid what will happen if I stay in control. If I try to make everything go for that fella, he'll be in a mess more than I am. I'm just going to teach him and do what God tells me to do and let him go. Listen, you know what stinks in the Bible? There's a lot of things, and we don't have time to go through everything, but I'll tell you what stinks. It's what's going to stink. Someone doesn't get saved and goes to devil's hell where the fire is not quenched, the worm dieth not. I can't imagine the physical smell of hell, and I don't want to imagine the spiritual reality of hell for anyone. It's going to stink if you don't go to heaven. Man, it's going to stink. God wants you to be saved. He wants to call your name out of the grave of being lost. When everyone else thinks your life stinks and there's nothing that can be done to change you. And God says, "I know his name. I can call his name. Open up the tomb." No, it stinks. You don't want that guy. His life is too horrible. That lady can't be changed. Yeah, open the tomb. I know their name. And friend, the Lord knows your name. And if you're not saved, he's been calling your name. He's been knocking on the door of your heart. Why don't you come to Christ? And quit stinking. Get it taken care of. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the testimonies, the songs that were sung. Thank you for the place that we can meet and the person that we meet about, Jesus Christ. Lord, there's so many things in my life that would just stink if it wasn't for Jesus. I thank you.